Rabbi Moshe Kenel Bnei Yisrael, right? The Eibush sent Moshe Rabbeinu to speak to Klal Yisrael. The Eibush is going to come and beguile them. So the pasuk says, "Vayidaber Moshe Kenel Bnei Yisrael." Moshe speaks to the Bnei Yisrael, "V'lo Yishama Al Moshe," and the Klal Yisrael did not listen to Moshe because Ruach Ma'avodah Kasha, from shortness of breath and from hard work. Pasuk continues, "Vayidaber Hashem Al Moshe Leimar, Boy Daber Al Parim Al Mitzrayim, go speak to Parai, V'yishalach Es Bnei Yisrael Me'Arzay," and he should send Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. "Vayidaber Moshe Lefnei Hashem Leimar, Hey Bnei Yisrael Lo Shama Elai." Klal Yisrael didn't listen to me. "Ve'ech Yishmeni Parai," how would you think that Parai should listen to me? "V'ani Rel Sosai." So Rashi says this is a Kal V'chaymer that Moshe Rabbeinu made. That Madoch, Moshe Rabbeinu went to speak to Klal Yisrael about the Geula, and Klal Yisrael was unable to hear him. So Kal V'chaymer, surely he's going to go speak to Parai. Surely Parai won't listen. So it's brought me a couple of kashas over here. First of all, you know, obvious kasha everybody asks, that what's l'chur Kal V'chaymer? That Bishlama, Klal Yisrael, like the pasuk says, "V'lo Yishama Al Moshe Mikotzer Ruach Ma'avodah Kasha." They didn't listen to Moshe because of shortness of breath and hard work. They were never, you know, they were worked to the bone, and they weren't in the matzav that they were able to listen to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's why Klal Yisrael didn't listen to Moshe Rabbeinu. Ashenka Parai, Parai didn't have this issue of Kotzer Ruach Ma'avodah Kasha. What's the episode? You shouldn't be able to listen. So the whole Kal V'chaymer doesn't make any sense. Moshe Rabbeinu makes the Kal V'chaymer. Mada Klal Yisrael didn't listen. Surely Parai's not going to listen. What kind of Kal V'chaymer is that? Parai, the Klal Yisrael didn't listen because you have to avoid the kasha. Mashenki, that issue doesn't apply to Parai. So what's happens? Parai shouldn't listen. What kind of Kal V'chaymer is that? And kasha. Another kasha that pashtus. What was Moshe Rabbeinu's Kal V'chaymer? That he was coming to tell the Eibishter, look what kind of Naral Sosayim I am. I'm so hard of speech and I'm so, you know, unable to talk well that I even went to the Yidden to speak to them about the Geula. And they were unable to listen. So look what kind of terrible Naral Sosayim I am. So if you bought up such a bitter Naral Sosayim, surely Pari's not going to be able to listen to me. That Pashas was the thrust of his Kal V'chaymer. That I'm such an aroused Sosayim that even Klal Yisrael didn't listen to me. So Kal V'chaymer, if you bought such an aroused Sosayim, surely Parai's not going to listen to me. That's the pashtus of a Kal V'chaymer. But if that's the case, that the Lashon of the Pasuk is very interesting. Right? Lashon of the Pasuk is, "Hey, Bnei Yisrael, Lo Yishama Elai. V'ech Yishmeni Parai. Ein Nekuda. And it's Tzveite Nekuda. And V'ani Yal Sosayim." What do you mean? And Ani Yal Sosayim? That's the thrust of the whole Kal V'chaymer. The whole Kal V'chaymer was to bring out what kind of aroused Sosayim Moshe Rabbeinu is. So shouldn't the pasuk have said, "Ani kol kach aras sasayim shafilu bnei Yisrael l'sham alai ve'ech yishmeni parai"? That's what he should have said. I'm such an aras sasayim that even Klal Yisrael didn't listen to me. So surely Parai's not going to listen. It goes the opposite way. Mad if Klal Yisrael didn't listen, surely Parai. Step one. And if the tzeit in the kuda v'ani aras sasayim, a tzeit in the kuda. Well, that's the whole thrust of Kal V'chaymer. So the Torah should have stalled it back. Moshe Rabbeinu should have stalled it back that way. Should have said, I'm such a Ma'al Sosayim, even Klal Yisrael didn't listen, so surely Parai's not going to listen. It's not how Moshe Rabbeinu says it. Imamah says the kilu, it's like an afterthought. You know, the Ikar Kal V'chaymer is, "Hem Netzol Shem Eich Yishmeni Parai." And it's fate to dach, grab the Eich Yishmeni Parai, and Vani Yal Sosayim. That's a va, and that's the whole thrust of the Kal V'chaymer. And to bring you a right that this is a valid kasha, if the question itself doesn't trip you, the Archaim is, "Was Efer the Eibishter? Vayidaber Hashem Moshe v'al Aaron, vayitzalel v'nei Yisrael v'apach melech Mitzrayim." That the Eibishter speaks to Moshe and Aaron, and he commands them that they should go right to speak to Parai regarding that he should let the Yidden out of Mitzrayim. Fact, Archaim, what do you mean? The Eibishter didn't answer Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu said a very geshmak in Kal V'chaymer. The Eibishter ignored his Kal V'chaymer and just reiterated his command, "Nachamol vayitzavel b'nei Yisrael." Answer his Kal V'chaymer. For the effect of Arachayim. The Eibishter is not answering him. The Eibishter chazal v'nachamol v'yitzavel b'nei Yisrael. Vayitzavel nachamol, he commands them, "Go speak to Parai." Why didn't you answer Moshe Rabbeinu's Kal V'chaymer? Effect of Arachayim. Frege, be here. I don't understand. You look in the Rashi. Rashi says, Vaydaber shal Moshe vel Aaron, zok Rashi, lefi shal Moshe, vani al sasayim, vibal Moshe Rabbeinu said, amen al sasayim, tziv la kosh baruch les Aaron, liyas loy, lepel le melitz. So the Eibishter was mitzarif with Moshe, he said, take Aaron with you. So what do you mean he didn't answer the Kal Chaim? He answered beautiful. The Kal Chaim was, Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm such an al sasayim, Kali Yisrael didn't listen. Surely Pazak can listen. So the Eibishter, okay, you have issues with al sasayim, the hosta Aaron. So why didn't he answer his Kavach Chaim? He answered it dugri, he answered it beautifully. What do you mean? The old Kavach Chaim is, I'm such an al-Sasayim. So the Eibishter, oh, you have a big power al-Sasayim? Dost Aaron. He didn't answer his Kavach Chaim. The Harai Mechrachas, like we're learning, that Avad and the al-Sasayim, that wasn't Izzik Kavach Chaim. Izzik Kavach Chaim was, we'll soon get to, Kavach Chaim. That's my Kavach Chaim. At Tzveita Nekud Ari Yisrasayim, so Krashi, on that Tzveita Nekud at Tzir Vlai Aaron, for the Archaim, okay, but the main thrust on Kalva Chayim, which was not Ari Yisrasayim, does the Devish in his fanfit. So Vaisnai said our Dik is valid, and if so, what's Takhtiv Shat? So if his Nika Kalva Chayim was not Vani Yisrasayim, that was only Kilo Tzveita Nekud, so what was his Kalva Chayim? And then you have Takhtiv Ari Chayim's Kasha, so if the Kalva Chayim was not Ari Yisrasayim, and it was something else, which we'll explain soon, saying why Takhni didn't David the answer on his Kal V'chaim. So those are the three issues that we have. First of all, B'chlal, what was his Kal V'chaim? Him, Nesol, L'shom, Al-Yech, Shavani, Pari. What kind of Kal V'chaim is that? Kal Yisrael didn't listen to leave Kal Yisrael and avoid the kosher, which doesn't apply to Pari. Second of all, what was his Kal V'chaim? And don't say that the Kal V'chaim was what kind of Al-Sasayim I am, because you see clearly from the Lashon HaPasuk that Ani Al-Sasayim is an afterthought. It's like a Tzveit in the Kuda. That wasn't the main thrust of his Kal V'chaim. And you see clear like that from the Archaim's Kasha, which is our third question, that what Taki did Eibishter answer on his Kal V'chaim? So I want to say, Merdek in the Val, that my father, Chayim Nevacha, asked, we say in the Agada, Iloloi Ha'itza Kodesh Baruch Hu, Avseinu Mitzrayim, Hei Anu, Uvenenu, Uvnei Venenu, Adayin, Shubadim Ayinu, Lepayim Mitzrayim. If the Eibishter wouldn't have taken out of Mitzrayim, so we and our children, we would still be Avadim to Pari, we would still be Meshubah to Pari Mitzrayim. So the Rashivi asked that, Mechtesa, you know, you see a lot of times in history that there was Avodim, and they rebelled, and they broke out, and they became Eis Avodim, right? The Shvartzes, they were slaves, you know, on the plantations. Eventually what happened was they broke out, that's it, they rebelled, and they broke out. You know, in, communist Russia, there was an iron curtain, it was pushed, impenetrable, you know, he wasn't able to get into Russia, get out of Russia. What happened? The iron curtain collapsed, fired. So why is it so posh that if the Eibishter wouldn't have been Goylos, we'd still be there? Says who? Maybe one day, you know, some warrior would have got up from the Yidden and they would have rebelled and they would have organized a rebellion and they would have rebelled. They would have broken out of Mitzrayim. What's the heck with that we'd still be there? So the answer, Chad, is that in order to rebel, you need a shtickl self-confidence. You have to feel a shtickl as a mensch. You need a shtickl gumption. The Baal Agada is testifying that Yidden was so tzushasin and they were so tzibrachim for the Avodas Parach that they taka never would have had the gumption to rebel. In order to rebel, an Eved can rebel only if he feels a shtickle as a mensch. He feels a shtickle of self-confidence, a shtickle stolz, then eventually he can get the gumption to break out. But if an Eved is taka so tzibrachim business self and he's so tzushasin, he'll never get that self-confidence, he'll never get that shtolz to put himself in a matzav that he's able to rebel, and that's what the Baal Agada is testifying. You all know during the Holocaust, right? So you had a concentration camp, you could have had 10,000 Yidden. And how many guards were there? 50 maybe? 40 maybe? So they had guns and they had machine guns, so big deal. Let the 10,000 Yidden get up there and say, you know what, let's charge the guards, so a couple of us will get killed, but eventually, Teretz is what they did, Yimach Shimon, was they shot the Yidden and they broke them down and they made the Pashut feel like ants, that the Yidden were never able to get this feeling. Mamas like Rashi was saying, they were never able to get this self-confidence and the shtolz to feel like a person, to get into the state of mind to be able to rebel. So that's what Rashi was saying, that's what the Baal Agada is testifying. And granted, Ibn Ezra says with this, that's the pshat, Yimach says this Nakuda, and he says, what's the pshat by Kriyas Yamsuf? So you didn't see the Chel Pari chasing them, so right away they start davening, they start crying, they start screaming to Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, didn't we tell you Mibliyank Farm Mitzrayim saying about Midbar, and then they start crying and carrying on. In fact, what do you mean? The Mitzrayim just suffered 10 Makas and the food supply was gone, and the leader of each household, the firstborn, was gone. There was Tushas and Tzibrachin. There was 60,000 Yidden between 20, 600,000 Yidden between 20 and 60, plus older, plus younger, plus children. Get up there and fight. Yeah, Gavre, you know, get up there. What do you mean? Fight. What are you so afraid of? You know, fight them. You'll win them. You know, how many Chel Pari was there already after all the Makkos? Get up there and fight with them. So if the Ebenezer did the Kudah, that they were so, you know, in such a massive of Avdus, in such a slave mentality, they were so Tzibrachin and so Tzushasin that the thought that it's possible to lift your hand to the master did not enter their heads. It didn't exist by them. The Musiv that I can stand up and fight against my master, that I should be able to not listen to him, the Musiv didn't exist. They see the master running right away. That's what the Ebenezer is saying. And that's what Ebenezer Zok. That's why the Eibush Tataka had to make the whole Maestin of Meraglim, that, and that all the dur of the people who were Mitzrayim, they all had to die out, because these people would not be able to go to Eretz Yisrael to fight against the Shiv Umas. This Musig that, you know, I've been a mensch and I'm a somebody and I can lift my hand and I can fight, didn't exist. They were so Tzibrachin, and they had this slave mentality, biz, you know, the Nekuda Pnimus, the Musig that you can fight for yourself against, they never, did not exist by them. So they were Avadim B'Mitzias. And that's why they never would rebel. So I also wanted to say with this grab, the very geschmack, that you know, the pasuk tells us, the Eibush says, Avodayim, that the Yidden, we are Eibush Avodim, Favos, Asher Etzeis Yosem Eretz Mitzrayim, because the Eibush took us out of Mitzrayim. So the Chur is very schwer, you know, if we would have to explain why we the Eibush Avodim, what would be the simplest answer to say? Because the Eibush created us, you know, Aroy Ashbach, you create something, not Aroy Ashbach, the opposite of Aroy Ashbach, right? You go plant something on something that's Hefker. It belongs to you, the stuff that grows, that belongs to you. Why? If you create Shvach, it belongs to you. So, that's why we're Eibush Avodim. We want to know why we belong to the Eibush, because he created us. No, so the Eibush, you know why you're my Avodim? Sure, it says you as a Meretz Mitzrayim. Why didn't the Eibush say better? You're my Avodim because I created you, you belong to me. Teretz is this Var. The Eibush wants that. This is included. We should be such avodim to the Eibushda that Pasha, to take a breath without making a cheshbon, is this what the Eibushda wants us to do or not? Is impossible. To lift your finger without a cheshbon, is this what the Eibushda wants? Is impossible. So the Eibushda doesn't want to say that you're my avodim. You know why? Because I created you. I'm Papi Alocha. You belong to me. You know, that's not such a powerful avodim. The Eibushda says, I put you down in Mitzrayim. In avodim, you became, in Mitzrayim, you became avodim, not just in Halacha the avodim. No, like the Rashi was saying, like the Ebenezer is saying, you became avodim in Mitzis. You developed this state of mind of avdus, the pashut, the musuv, that you're somebody to lift your finger, to take a breath without your master's vision, doesn't exist by you. And I put you in that karbazel, and now I took you out, so that entire state of mind, that entire state of allegiance that you previously had to your masters of Mitzrayim, transferred to me. Azah avdus, business to Eibush. So Eibush doesn't want to say you're my avodim because halachically you belong to me. The Eibush says you're my avodim because the Mitzis you're my avodim, because you developed this state of mind, this Mitzistic avdus, and that allegiance to your masters of Mitzrayim, you transferred to me. Azah avdus, zenemitz to Eibush. So coming back to over here, so it's bothering me. So if so, so what was the Eibush thinking when the Eibush says to Moshe Rabbeinu, go speak to Klal Yisrael? But how can you speak to a person like that? How can you speak to a person that's not a person? How can you speak to a person that feels like an ant? You can't speak to the guy. So what was the Eibush thinking? And that's Kachave, right? Yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu goes to them, Lo Shamo. So what was the Eibush's chesed? How you can't speak to the guy? The guy's not a person. He's not human. He's an avid. What shaykh to speak to him? What was the Eibush thinking? So Moshe Rabbeinu understood as follows. That Avada, there's two types of languages, right? There's the intellectual language, and then there's Dvarma Yotze Min Alev, Nechnasam Alev. But Moshe Rabbeinu Fashtanen, that the Eibush can't be telling him to go speak to the Klal Yisrael on an intellectual plane. Like we're saying from the Rashiva, from the Ebenezer, you can't speak to them intellectually. On an intellectual plane, nobody's home. They were so tzushasin and so tzibrachin, business off, you can't speak to them. You can't have to speak to them. So the only way that it's possible is to speak to the heart, not to the brain. To the brain, there's no brain. There's nobody home upstairs. Speak to the heart. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu understood. That's what the Eibush is telling him. So that was Moshe Rabbeinu's Kabbalah claim, that you're telling me, Eibush, that speak to them from your heart, automatically it'll enter your heart. No such thing. You speak it from your heart, it's got to enter his heart. So Moshe Rabbeinu, Nishtazeh. Sometimes the heart can be so closed that even if I speak from the heart, it's not going into your heart. A heart can be so famach that
that even if I speak from my if the heart's open, if Yen, the heart is so far macht and it's so closed, even if I speak from the heart, it's not going. What closes a heart? A few things. Kaitzer Ruach, Avodah Kasha, and there's something else that closes a heart. And you know what that is? Vicious. Evil. So that was Rabbi Yitzchak Kalb Chaim. The Madoch, I tried to speak from the heart to the Kal Yisrael, and it didn't work. Even though it was Rami Yitzchak and Alev, it was not Nichlas Alev. Why? Because the heart was closed. What closed the heart? Abizel Shver Arbet, Abizel Kaiser Rabbi Nikasha. If that was able to close the heart, that even though I spoke from my heart, it didn't enter. Kalb Chaim, Pari's heart. That Pari, who was Kaifa Baker, who said, Mi Hashem Shesh Rabbi Kaile, that was a pity me, a vicious. His heart is Zichavamach. And therefore, if I will speak to him from my heart, it's not entering his heart. That was my Rebbe in his Kalb Chaim. My Kal Yisrael didn't listen, even though I spoke from the heart. The Teretz says, because even though my Yitzchak and Alev, it's not automatically Nichlas Alev. Sometimes the Lev is so famach that even if you speak from your heart, it's not going in. Kalb Chaim, that Pari's heart that was famach to leave, it's vicious. Zicha Kalb Chaim, Rebbe Nachman Kalb Chaim. Even if I speak from the heart, it's not going into his heart. That was his Kalb Chaim. What's the obvious upshlag in this Kalb Chaim? Speak to him intellectually. Of Dosek Mashab, I don't know. But he also said, speak to him as we stop that Shaykh. So that Takim wasn't Dekas for us of his Kalb Chaim. Dekas for us of his Kalb Chaim was, Dor Meyos would have a Chlasim Alev. Not necessarily true. If the Yidin's heart was Famach that didn't enter, surely Pari's heart. You're going to try to slug at my Kalb Chaim to say, oh, but speak to Pari intellectually? But he also said, but say to the Kuda. It's but a preemption on your upshlag of my Kalb Chaim. But that's not Dekas Kalb Chaim. That's Takim why it's only Vani Yosheim that's a Tzveit in the Kuda. So that answers our first two kashas. That answers what the Kalb Chaim was. And Taka of Anibal society was not thinking of Kalb Chaim. That was Pashit. If the Abishah would attempt to slug the Moshe Rabbeinu's Kalb Chaim by saying, Pari, you don't have to speak to his heart, speak to his brain. So the Moshe Rabbeinu of Anibal society, speak to his brain, is not Stam, not Shai. And he had the Abishah answer? That's what we're coming to now. So the Anibal society, the Abishah answered, Sir Vitayar. How about the other Kalb Chaim? Zot Rashi. Vayitzav b'nei Yisrael, Zekrashi, Tzivam, Aleyam, La'anigam, B'nachas, V'lis, V'loisam. So the Ebeshter speak to them with nachas, with calmness, with patience. Vel Pari Melech B'tzayim, Zekrashi, Tzivam, Olav Lach, Olay, Kovet, V'devayim. Speak to Pari with Kovet. So the Ebeshter, no. Dor Mayos Ben Alev, is the Chosm Alev, infallible. Plea, without exception. Of a vast, that's only if the person perceives that you're speaking from your heart. If you speak to the person benachas, and you speak to him besavlanis, and he feels that you're speaking from the heart, it's entering in his heart. You speak to him with impatience, and without savlanis, and without softness, he doesn't experience this feeling that he's speaking from his heart, his heart's closed. That's what the Abishah answered. No, Bamis, I'm telling you good. You're trying to tell me that even if Dor Meyetz Alev is not automatically Nichlas Alev, Nish Damas. Dor Meyetz Alev is automatically Nichlas Alev. But that's only if the person feels that you're speaking from his heart. If you speak to the Yidin Benachas, the Savlanas, they'll experience this feeling that you're speaking from the heart, or enter the heart, with the Kaiseruch, with Avodah Kasha. You'll speak to Pari, but they're covered. He'll feel that you speak from the heart. Can enter his heart. Rabbi Yisrael, what's that tell you? You know, you owe me big time. Murder the Gipshat, not Shaykh. Murder the Gipshat. Okay.
He didn't
yeah, that's what Rashi says. Speak to him the Nachas of the Lisboa. Speak to him the Nachas of the Lisboa. Screaming there, obviously, I mean, so he was speaking to them, the Nachas of the Lisboa, so what's the Abishah telling him for? Obviously, not sufficiently, obviously, right? Oh, so, speaking about Dor Mayetz and Alev, let me tell you something that's on my heart. You know, Medrash says, Amar Abiyasa, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu L'Kar Yisrael. The Eibshter says to Yidin, B'ni, Tisluli Pesach K'chudish Al Machat. If you open for me an opening like the point of the needle, V'ani Eftach L'chem Sochem, I will open for you a passageway. That wagons will be able to enter. So the Eibishter says, open for me a little bit of a Pesach, like the point of a needle, and I will in turn open for you such a Pesach, such a Kesher, that Igolus Ukrani Yisichayim Likarnisplay. So I want to say a little bit, Alpidrush, if you allow me, that what happens, the Eibishter, you know, is metaphorically trying to picture, give us the picture of a Pesach, a huge, huge, wide Pesach. Why Dafka does he go ahead and pick
such a Pesach she'igolus ukonis echad lekanis. What's the symbol over here? What is these igolus coming to symbolize? Tam, he wanted to give a mashal of a big Pesach. He could have gave a lot of mashalim, or he didn't have to give any mashal. He said, "Man, you have to come Pesach, you know, very very wide." Why is he, you know, bringing out the nekuda of the wide Pesach with a igolus? So I want to say very geshmak of shat, a little bit on pidrush, that, you know, we all know that when the Eibusha gave the Torah, so the Yidin said Nasav Nishma, so Baskel went out in the Shemaim, and the Baskel said Migila Rozel Abanai, who revealed the secret to my children? What exactly was the secret of Nasav Nishma? I want to say the secret was that if the Yidin wouldn't have said Nasav Nishma, the Eibusha wouldn't have given the Torah. Why not? Because we're all aware that when the Eibusha gave the Torah, it was Ke'ishecha B'lev Echad. That the Klal Yisrael had to be one Achdistika Klal Yisrael, one Seber of Klal Yisrael. The bris that the Eibusha made with Klal Yisrael was with Klal Yisrael as a Seber. Not with 600,000 individuals, but rather with a Seber, with a Klal, with the whole Klal Yisrael as a Klal. So, I was telling that if the Yidin wouldn't have said Nasav Nishma, it wouldn't have been a Kabbalah Ke'ishecha B'lev Echad. Why not? Because every person has different tchunas ha-nefesh. Every person has different character traits. So let's say the Moshe the Eibusha would have said, "Ah, here's a mitzvah of Shabbos." So one yid would say, "Ah, gevaldik mitzvah, you know, shina b'Shabbos tainig, you can sleep on Shabbos, gevaldik." And another yid is going to say, "Sleep, you know, after you're dead, you sleep. Now you can eat, you know, you have tanuge Shabbos, geshmak." And another guy would say, "That's all you're thinking about is sleeping and eating. No, Shabbos you have neshama yisera, you know, you can spiritual." And back and forth, that's not going to be a Kabbalah as one. Guys, he's mekabel for the sleep, and he's mekabel for the food, and it has to be ain't Kabbalah, kishach b'lecha, and so to all the mitzvahs. Every mitzvah has different components that attract, you know, the different chunas ha-nefesh of different people. That's not kishach b'lev echad. So it had to be, in order to be one kabal kishach b'lev echad, they had to say nasav nishma. We don't know what it is. All we know is we all want to do, unconditionally, the rasan of the Eibusha. That's a kabal kishach b'lev echad. That's the pshat in the medrash. The medrash tells us, medrash pliya, that kivan sh'om yisol nasav nishma, when he said nasav nishma, v'yadam karsh baruch hu, right away karsh baruch hu said, when did the Eibusha decide to dwell amongst us in the Mishkan and the Migdash? When he said Nasav Nishma. Why? Same Nekuda. Because right, the bris that the Eibusha has with us is only with us as a cloud, only with us when we're Kishach B'lev Echad, and only when he said Nasav Nishma, like we just explained, only then were they Kishach B'lev Echad, only then is the Eibusha willing to live amongst us. So I want to say beautifully in the Pasuk says, "Mechukai say Telechu, I will give my rains in time, and the land will give her bounty, and the pasuk goes on and on and on, more brachas, gevaldik." And then the pasuk says, "I will put my mishkan amongst you, and I will not be disgusted with you." In fact, Rav Moshe Zechayin Levracha, I don't understand. We're talking about a pasuk here, because it's Telechu. We're talking about such gevaldike yidin that they go in the way of Hashem and they listen to His mitzvahs, and the Eibusha blesses them with the side of Shmecha Beita, and Eretz Nasa Yevula. He blesses them with bounty and psukim, invite them more and more brachas, and says the Eibusha, "And you know what? I won't be disgusted with you, really." Well, of course not. What do you mean? The Eibusha is giving them bounty and is giving them brachas. So the pasuk has to say, "I'm not going to be disgusted with you." Why would I have a mina that you are disgusted? So according to what we're saying, I want to say gevalt. Because what did the pasuk say? And what did we just finish saying? When did the Eibusha decide v'nesati mishkani b'seichichem? When it's nasav v'nishma. When it's kishach b'lev echad. When it's achdus k'lal Yisrael. So if the Eibusha, you can do the mitzvahs on Hayim B'Zmargim. It can be Chmukhazi Telechu, and it can be Mitzvahs and Shmarim, and Yitaka. I keep my word. You keep the mitzvahs, I'll give you bounty. I'll give you the Sadek Shmecha Mitam. But you know what? If it's not, if you are only worried about your own Chmukhazi Telechu, and you're worried about your own Mitzvahs and Shmarim, and you're worried about your Ruchias, and you're worried about your Shtai, but what about your friends, Ruchnius? And what about your friends, Mechukai Zetelechu? What about he who needs Chizik in order to serve Hashem? Are you worried about him? Or no, Ich Nav Steigen. He says, "You're like that? Sigal Nav Shchashashon, you gross me out. You want Mit Alamitzis, Mit Mechukai Zetelechu. I shouldn't be disgusted? One condition.
It's in a matzav of nasav nishma. It's in a matzav of kishach b'lei v'echad. Then and only then, you're not just coming with your own v'chazin teleichu. No, like it says in the pasuk Lashon Rambam, v'chazin teleichu. If you're going as a klal yisrael, as together, you're worried also about yanim shtaging. Leisig nafshi yitzchem. Sati b'shkana b'seichem. It's kishach b'lechem. Then leisig nafshi yitzchem. So I want to say in Boradik that, you know, we had a couple of parshas ago. The pasuk says v'yar Yaakov. Esagolus Shashalach Yosef, that Yaakov saw the wagons that Yosef sent, but the Chiruach Yaakov, and Yaakov's spirit was revived. Right? So Rashi brings down the Medrash that Simon Masalahem. Yosef gave the brother the Simon, but Yaakov Shashalach Yosef, Rashi says that Yosef gave the brother the Simon, the Sugya of Egla Rufa, that the last Sugya that Yaakov and Yosef were learning before Yosef was sold to Mitzrayim was the Sugya of Egla Rufa. And that was the siman that Yosef gave over to his brothers to give to his father. And Yaakov saw that. So part of the pshat is that Yaakov was all worried that, you know, who knows what happened. Yosef was in Mitzrayim, Eretz HaTumah. Who knows what happened in there, you know, but maybe he went off. So Yosef sends him, no, he's still holding in the Sugya of El Rufa, Halton Lernan. And that revived Yaakov's spirit. That's the part of the marriage. I was thinking maybe it should go a different pshat. What is the sugya of Egla Rufa? We're all aware that if you find a dead body on the road, so you measure which city it's closest to, and whichever city it's closest to, the Zkenim have to come out and they have to say, Yedeno L'Shofchas Adam Azeh. Rashi says, the Zkenim have to say, Yedeno L'Shofchas Adam Azeh. I would have a Havamina that the Zkenim killed this person. So Rashi, rather what they're saying is, Yedeno L'Shofchas Adam Azeh, that when this person came to the town, we gave him to eat, and we gave him to drink, and we were malav him on the road. Chula b'chula. What's the pshat? The pshat is that the road is a very dangerous place. And if a person who is going on the road is in a massive of unhappiness and in a massive of depression, chas v'shalom, the dangers of the road can get him. So if he came to the town and the town hosted him and the town gave him to eat and to drink and they were malav him and they were machazik him, so now he goes on the road with a self-confidence, with happiness, and therefore the danger of the road will not affect him. And if it did, it has nothing to do with us. But if chas v'shalom fakert, they weren't malav him and they didn't give him to eat, so that means they put him in a massive of depression and he's missing his chizik. So because of them, the dangers of the road killed him, and that's called yedeinu shofchas adam azeh. So let me ask you a question. Let's say a person is going on the road and he comes to some hick town, you know, like you have mounds, some hick town, person is looking near Darton, and no one says hello to him, and no one invites him, and no one's allowed him. You think he's going to get depressed? You think he's going to feel non-mechuzik? Shaykh is over here. Why should they invite me? They know me. Do I have anything to do with them? So why is it that this guy comes to the town and no one invites him and no one is allowed him and he gets depressed and then he's a tzabrochen and the days. What are you tzabrochen about? Why should anyone invite you? Do you know anybody over here? Teretz is. The pasuk is teaching us. Then what do you mean? How would if you go to a town where your entire family lives in the town? And no one from your family invited you, your entire family ignored you. Then you understand. What do you mean? My brother lives here, and my sister lives here, and my uncle and my cousin, and no one invited me? First it's a brachet. So the tyrants and the shalat azach, there's no such thing in a town where you don't have brothers and sisters. Right? What do you mean all God's power souls are in Bida? So any town you go to, Pshadis, if they didn't invite you, that means your brother didn't invite you. Of course, first it's a brachet. So the sugya of Egla Rufa is teaching us that every single town has an achrais. A stranger comes. What stranger? The word doesn't exist, stranger. A brother comes, of course you have to invite him. If not, you're stressing him out. So the sugya of Egla Rufa, in essence, is this kish echa b'lei v'echa. That yeah, the person, any yid comes to town, is that kish echa b'lei? He's your brother. If you're not inviting him, of course he's going to get stressed out. If your brother doesn't invite you, you get stressed out. So when Yaakov was worried about Yosef, he knew good and well that Yosef was Yosef at Tzadik, and he wasn't worried that Yosef went off. But you know what he was worried? That maybe after what his brothers did to him, that his brothers took him, a 17-year-old, and they sold him down the river, Yosef said, okay, that's the way you feel, that's the way I feel. Bishnishkin brother, I have nothing to do with you, I'm never talking to you again, I don't know your name. That's what Yaakov was worried about. Zot Yosef! No. I'm still holding the sugya of Egla Rufa. What did the sugya of Egla Rufa teach us? As Mizanan Alabida, there's no such thing as strangers. It's all Kishach B'lei V'echad. So if Yosef, that's where I'm still holding. Ichalf Nachi Yena Sugya. I still feel it acts with my brothers. I still feel I'm part of the Shvatim. Tchi Ruch Yan. Zok Deishta. B'ni. We all want his tapkus. We want to connect to the Eibster. We want to become a kosher. So the Eibster, pischuli pechuli shamachet, and I'll open for you as our Pesach, but there's one tonight. It's only if you are in Dagolos. Just like Dagolos, and this pasuk has a dual meaning. It means the wagons, and it means the Egla Rufa. So the Eibster, pischuli pechuli shamachet, and I'll let you in. But there's one t'nai. You can only come in if you're in the Agolas. If you're only learning the Sugi Vegel Arufa, the same thing comes, Eichlich will steigen, aber nicht, dass ich will steigen. We want to steig. You're not only worried about your own steigen, you're worried about your neighbor steigen, and you're worried about your friend steigen. Then the Eichlich says, come on in. Come on in like this, I'll open for you. Oh, if a guy comes to me, yeah, Eichlich, I want to steig. Oh, but what's up with Yenem and stuff, I'm sorry, I'm busy, I gotta finish the Masechta, I got this, I got that. What about his chizuk? And what about his learning? What does that count? So the Eibishter, Chas V'Shalom, single mashin, get out of my life. You want me to open for you? You open for him. You care about my children? I'll care about you. You don't care about me? You're worried about yourself? What are you talking about? You want to finish the Masechta? You think you're going to finish the Masechta? Who's going to finish the Masechta? The Eibishter says, I'll give you Shabbat Yisrael, you'll finish the Masechta. You can finish it on your own. That is, it's a matana. You want a gift from me? You give my son a gift, I'll give you a gift. Come stay in LA, I want my shtag. The Eibishter says, you gross me out, get out of my life. Das octopus. Pizli pechul shamachat, and I'll open for you like this. But there's one condition. You have to care for Yerem Steiger, and you have to worry about Yerem Schizik. You want to be Mestabek to me, you be make sure he's Mestabek too. Then it's like Sigal Nafshi. Then it's Pesach Shin Golos. Then I'll open like this. Can you imagine how happy he'll be? Why is Ataka? What do you mean? It's not Pesach Shudra Machat. What do you mean? We learn. We daven. That's not Chudish Shal Machat. What does this mean? Pesach Shudra Machat. And I'll open like this. What do you mean? So what happened? I didn't open Chudish Shal Machat. A whole day I daven. A whole day I learn. A whole day. Terence says, yeah, but you're only worried about yourself. You're worried about your steiging and your stopkas. What about Yenim? What about Yenadav's chizik? What about this guy, these chizik? Oh, I'm busy. I got my all into. Fine, you're busy. I ain't opening no Pesach, nothing for you. You got to be riding that Golos, and that's what's in the Nafshi. This, I saw very much by my father, Kohen Levracha, right? My brother was saying yesterday, my father did not stop learning for a second. There was never a time, I never saw a time, you know, like, the Musig, chill out, you know, just relax, you know, the hard day, let me just space for a couple of minutes. I never saw such a thing in my father. There was never a time he didn't have a safer, something in front of him. And yet, like my brother mentioned yesterday, he went, the entire country, any place, there was a million that came to it. Where are you going? What do you mean? I have to learn. What do you mean? Who cared about learning more than my father? Who was worried more about learning than my father? You know how many hours, hundreds of hours that he, I don't know, wasted is not the right word. But what do you mean? Sit in the car for hours? What do you mean? Sit and learn the best language. What about your own learning? Terrence says, what do you mean? My own learning belongs to me. You're a balbus on your, even on your learning, you're not a balbus. You want to hear, you know, I came back from Eretz Yisrael. Okay, you know, I was very frum, okay? I'm very frum. And at that time, I had a cousin, you know, a female cousin living in my house, like my age. So I come to the airport, my father, my mother, and this girl, you know, but I ignored her, I didn't say boo to her, and I thought my father would be so proud of me, you know? So my father says, let's say her name is Rivka, whatever. He gets me, he's giving me such an angry face, he says, versteh dich nicht. He says, Rivka, come to the to greet you in the airport, and you ignore her, you don't say hello to her. My father, what do you mean, from kind? Your from kind belongs to you. What do you mean, you're a balbus and you're from kind? What are you talking about? Someone comes to greet you, where's your meshla kind? Someone comes to greet you, you ignore her. From who is from than my father? Taz says, you don't know what from means. From kind is what the age that dictates. Someone comes, you hurt his her feelings because you want to be from. That's not from kind. That's a chazit shaita. That's the message of my father's life. And v'chulu, you know, the ibig gemekait of my father, the you know, erev Yom Kippur. What do you know, erev Yom Kippur? I have to say, but erev Yom Kippur. What do you mean, erev Yom Kippur? You have to sit and then learn musar all day. What do you mean, you have to sit and go to the mikvah 20 times? What did my father do, erev Yom Kippur? He went to Meshuggah's house to visit guy. In the Meshuggah house, you understand what I'm saying? It's not funny. I'm telling you the lie. This guy used to urinate. He said it's not nice to say. He said a guy who's not well, major not well. I mean, him, my father went to dance with him in the Meshuggah house. Then he went to the Nebuchadnezzar, you know, a person that the big Talmud Chacham was, you know, had major chayvus. Wrote him out a check of $15,000. Then he went to meet Menachem Oval. That was his whole ah, this was out, you know. That was his Erev Yom Kippur. What do you mean, Erev Yom Kippur? You have to prepare for the holy day. What do you mean you have to prepare? What do you mean your frumkeit does not belong to you? You have to realize that your shtai and it's a pashta svara. It's a pashta svara. Remember we talked about last time. What was his trick? This was his trick. You can learn and learn and learn, but if you fail, your learning is me because it belongs to me, and I'll decide. Not happy. Sigil. That was gross. You have to care about Yenim. You have to have a gefil for tzeita yid. Then it's pisli chulish machat. It's chulish machat. I'll open. She goes. That I think was the message of his life, and I think that's very much what we have to internalize, and we have to carry on his legacy. That the trick is that you're not losing from it. That you're only gaining from it. And I'm telling you, the svar is a posh. The svar is so posh because on our own, like we spoke numerous times, on our own, you're not shtagging anything. Without Shadda Shmaya, you're not going to vestish ken lanin, vestish ken zain from. You're not going to be good. Without Shadda Shmaya, you're nowhere, man. So you want the Emshah to give you presents. How can you say to the Emshah, give me a present, when, what do you mean, someone's asking you for a present and you deny him? So the Emshah says, what do you mean, you turn my children away, I should listen to you? That's mamish, that's his positive. That's what's sitting there. That's gross. That's fucking gross. You ask the Emshah, give me. The Emshah says, what do you mean, he's asking you, give me, and you ignore him, I'll ignore you. That's the legacy of Rosh Hashiva. That's what we have to carry on. People need chizik, be mechaz them. Don't be so self-focused. Focus a bissel of atzeita. Care about others' Yiddishkeit, and your Yiddishkeit will grow. Care about others' steiging, and your steiging grow. I think that was the life of the Rosh Hashiva. That was his legacy, and that's what we can carry on. And it'll kind of be a big schluss for Neshama, and it'll be a big schluss for us, too.